The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines, where you can get your weekly fix of arts and culture, food and drink, home and design, style and shopping, and green and sustainable topics. Updated information can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at urbanitebaltimore.com. Mark Steiner, we are here at the home and soon-to-be gallery as well of Ernest and Gail Kroma, people I have known for, oh my Lord, 40 years or more in this community. Ernest is one of the finest artists in our world. They were both entrepreneurs, built incredible bakeries that everybody went to in this community. They've done many things over the years. They're having openings to begin to open their art gallery in their home slowly but surely and help promote that and let people know about them. We came to visit today to walk around and see this incredible work, meet my dear old friends again who I have not seen in a while, and to tell the world about the Kromas, who are treasures in our community, Gail and Ernest Kroma.
Thank you. We're very happy to be here. I'm Gail Kroma. My better half.
Ernest Kroma, I was going to tell you how old I am, but Mark said we've been knowing each other for 40 years or more, and we were old guys when we met, so you know I'm old. But it's just such a pleasure for Mark to come by, because we hadn't seen each other in a long time. But to share what I've been doing with somebody who I admire, who I think he might be talking about me and my art, but I think in his way he is a very, 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 very serious part of our community that we don't ever want him out of here. Thank you, Mark.
So, you know, it'd be a good time to ask this, because since people viewing this can go up on the website and see some of the pictures.
Images, yes.
But they can't see them while we're talking.
No,
at
they
least
can't.
Not
no, that's
on radio
true,
today.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to talk a bit about the social, political, spiritual philosophy that moves your work, that moves this work.
You know, people say, where are you from? Because, you know, I've stayed in Africa. I've been here. I was born in Hopkins Hospital in 1939. I grew up on the corner of Everson Avenue and Calhoun Street. So I'm a real Baltimore guy. And I lived here all my life. And people have asked me to move a lot of places. But to be quite honest with you, man, I really like Baltimore. Baltimore's fine for me. So I like people, period. I don't care what nationality they are. I got friends all over the place. But because I grew up, my grandmother, my grandfather, they're all from the South, farmers and all. I grew up with them under their guidance, very deep religious guidance. I took to that. Good thing for me is they gave me that feeling of liking people. I like myself. I like my own people. I love my people, right? So I'll take what my talent is all about, whether it's what I do food or whether I'm doing my art, and try to express what's inside of me, who I am, and then share that with anybody, you know? So I think I'm kind of lucky. I mean, I never will forget. Well, somebody told me I was going to be a little show. This is about 1962 or one, and somebody said to me, well, you know, white people are not really interested in black people's artwork, right? I'm in this little show. The very first person walked in and walked up to me with this big fat white guy, said, this picture right here, how much you want for this? And I think I maybe want $50 or $75, something like that. I was young, man. So I told him, he said, well, go get my wife. He brought his wife. And I only talked, dear, wouldn't this look good? I mean, I said, oh, my God. He went crazy about this piece, right? So it was a musician. So lo and behold, the guy who told me about white people, I said, man, look at that guy just bought my work. He said, man, I'm surprised. I said, man, if the pitch is good, somebody going to buy it. That's what it's really all about. Just do your best. Oh, you're selling. Just do your best and be serious about it. So it don't matter, you know. So, but still, we know how it is all over the world as well as in this country. But my whole thing is I'm under my father and my grandfather and my mother. I'm under their philosophy. Do my best, and I think I'll be all right. It's the same thing when I opened the pastry shop. When I first moved down to Reed Street, because, you know, well, first of all, wasn't nobody black on Reed Street with a business.
Passing through.
That was the first thing they told me. Why are you going to open a pastry shop on Reed Street? Man, you know, it's just white people down there, man. Do you think they're going to come and ask me? Look, I know my stuff is good. I know my stuff, and I moved right next to the hair garage. When it first started off, everybody in the hair garage came in there and got their coffee and their pastry. Mark, I never advertised. The word just went, shoo. People came from everywhere. I had people come from Hunt Valley calling me out here for the holidays, Christmas, you know, Jewish people, you know, call me for holidays. Could I make this? You know, it was one at the Suburban Country Club, this Jewish guy I know, and I forgot his business. He had three daughters. He said, well, he told her because, you know, you could only bring the Jews. You had to have another Jew do their food. And you know what he said? Well, let me tell y'all something. Ernest Cromer is doing my daughter's wedding cake. And so when I took the wedding cake up there, the chef in there, because he said Ernest Cromer didn't, so you couldn't tell by the name what I was. The chef, well, he looked at me like I came from outer space. Well, who are you? You delivery boy? I said, no, sir. Let me explain something to you. I am the guy who made the cake, plus I own the company. So they did that. So the guy who got me to do it, he walked in. Ernest, my man, come on out. He took me out there, introduced me. See, look, and this is his exact words. See, I know we got to do the Jewish thing, but this guy right here, we got to get his wedding cakes. And that put me into that Jewish community. Next thing I know, they were my customers. And why am I saying that? It's the same thing I try to tell young people. I did my work well. I took my trade seriously, and I did the absolutely best that I can. And I love my customers. And if you do that, you'll be okay.
And not only that, our philosophy is do what you know and do it well. And therefore, we don't really like to be put into a category. First of all, people talk about black art. But you don't go around saying, this is white art.
Right.
As far as we're concerned, it is art because it transcends race. It really does. If you really look at it, you'll see things that are universal and not black or white. So that's part of our philosophy, too.
It limits its definition.
Yes, it does.
If you just call it black art, Jewish art, this is an art that was made by a black man.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Another social piece that we're talking about that Ernest did at... Villa Julie College.
Now Stevenson University.
Yes, Stevenson University. Right. 2002, there was a show curated.
Well, it was before 2000.
No, this was. This was in 2002 where the show was shown.
This was done right before Bush sent the troops into the war.
Right.
The piece itself.
And I know the audience can't see the piece, but we'll photograph this and put it online also. But he titled it Why Not Peace? And Ernest also has a knack for creating literally, as far as literary art is concerned. And a lot of times I will write his pieces because he is beginning to include written pieces for most of his work. But this particular piece is full of nails, but there's also an image. It says, no matter what kind of mask that you think you need to wear in today's world, there's always the possibility of being blown away or experiencing the pain of rusty nails being shot into your body that will inflict physical and mental disease. Why not peace? So that we can remove our mask and enjoy with appreciation the gifts of this beautiful world that were created for us. And these were the words that explained this piece of artwork.
Because, you know, when they was talking about, you know, going into that war thing, I mean, I'm not a politician. I don't really keep up with that stuff. All I could think of was the time that now we're going to send all these kids over here. It's going to be 2,000-3,000 kids getting killed, and nobody has explained to me yet why. I just don't think all those kids should be killed. Why not sit around and, you know, hash it out, pay some money, or do whatever you got to do, like you used to do anyway, but don't kill all them young people.
Right.
Because you can't explain nothing. There's nothing you can say to one of their mothers that's going to make her feel all right, because she's still going to cry that night, but she's done lost her boy.
I asked you a minute ago about what fueled your art, philosophically fueled your art,
right.
And you said a couple of things. I want to explore. I'm going to do it one at a time, so I'll mix them up.
Okay.
But when I look at this piece,
right.
I mean, and the other pieces, the pieces, the Miles Davis piece, this piece we'll talk about in a minute.
Right.
What's that one called again?
The Coalition.
that you're growing up as a black man in Baltimore, born in 1939, which makes you almost 72.
Right.
that sense of the view of the world does fuel your art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's because that's who you are and where you come from and your sense of politics, your sense of justice, your sense of culture, your sense of spiritualism.
Right.
I can feel it through this stuff.
Right. And that's me. I mean, that's how I feel. You know, that's the real Ernest Cromer. That's how I feel. And have been the same way all my life, you know. I mean, I've always felt the same. And I, like I said, I'll keep repeating myself, I really do like people, you know. I like where I live, you know. Of course, we all wish a lot of stuff would be different or better or however it could be. But you would never get me to join a group to hate anybody. You would never get me to hate anything because I think that's ridiculous. You know.
But to expound on that, I was sent as an educational ambassador to promote a sister city relationship between Baltimore and Mbanga, Mbong County, Liberia, West Africa, and Ernest Cane 7 weeks after I was there to do his art. He and I really had only met, we had only been seeing each other for about a year, and he came over after me. And actually, he influenced me to take that position. Al travels, not just to Liberia, West Africa. We've done business and traveled in the Caribbean, extensively in the United States, Brazil, has really influenced us to think globally. Even though we both are products of the 60s, we both are, even though he's 10 years my senior, I have to say.
You gotta get that in.
Oh, yeah. we both have always been very global thinking people. Yes, the 60s did have an impact on us. The 70s had an impact on the way that we think. But that was always extended because of our travels, because of friends that we made, that we become family members of. We even in Africa, there were Chinese there, Lebanese there. There were people, you know, from all over the world who lived there. And it's just a different climate. I mean, there was not even an issue about race there. And it was a wonderful feeling. It was the first time myself I had lived outside of the United States and got an opportunity to see who I was outside of this setting here and how other people saw us. It was a wonderful feeling, and it was really one that helped us to grow even more in terms of how we looked at the world and what our mission would be, you know, once we came back, and that's where Cromer Gallery was born.
It's funny. I was listening to you speaking, the two of you together. It's hard to say Ernest without Gail and Gail without Ernest.
It's impossible.
35 years.
I mean, even when I go places nowadays, if I'm by myself, they say, "Hi, how you doing? Where's Gail?" All the time. It's always, all the time. You know. But
we have become. We are soul mates, and that's rare. If you find a person that is your soulmate, it's a treasure, truthfully. And he has been a big influence on my growth and development, and he also gives me credit for him being able to produce this body of work and all the things that we've done so much together as a couple that a lot of people don't even get an opportunity to do, you know, on their own. And so just the traveling and all of our projects in the food business as well as the art business is a result of our labor together.
You really have made a successful life. I mean, both as an artist, and as business people, as entrepreneurs, creating your own pastry shops, your own, you know, that was renowned across the city for a long, long time.
I mean, we've been accused of doing it our way. People actually have said that. They accuse us of doing.
Which way are you going to do it then?
Exactly. You know, exactly. I mean, we've tried including other people and work with other people, but when it boils down to it, when you have a vision and you are committed to that vision, and you see, you know how it has to be done. I mean, this is the product. I pride myself on what we've put together here and what we've done that has impact and did impact the community, especially the Upton community where Cromer Gallery was first born. And then we expanded to Franklin and Utah Place in the Charles Fish Building, that historical building. But again, Ernest's health challenges interfered or set us back there. But we're not quitters. We don't let things stop us from doing anything.
I can see. I mean, Ernest, you're still going strong. You've had this year. You've had heart surgery. You've had all this other insane vascular surgery. All this stuff going on.
Six surgeries in 1 month. And they had to undo what they did.
And you're still cooking.
Nothing gonna stop me. Nothing. Nothing gonna stop me. You know, nothing.
And as an educator, that was one of the things that I tried to impress on young people. You know, you have to. If you believe in something, you have a passion for it. It's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's easy. We have had ups and downs. But you have to, if it's worth something, you have to stick to it and keep doing it. Well, Mark, you know also, just being in the radio business, you know, you have to just keep a plugging away. Paul Lawrence Dunbar. My aunt wrote that in my sixth grade album. Keep a plugging away. And I tell all young people that, you know, you have to, if you just have to keep working at it.
You know? So this is a lot of your life's work is in this studio. Yeah. This is your home and it's your gallery.
Yes, yeah. Which I'm going to show you other parts of the home, but the art is throughout. Actually, even the whole design and layout of this particular building was from Ernest's talent as an interior decorator. He and his brothers were in the decorating business at one time, and he designed kitchen cabinets, and he's been all in the home improvement, you know, business. But all of those talents you will see, you know, in this home.
This is Elijah, like a lesson for the young people in our communities today, just to think about the idea of perseverance, hard work, sticking to it, doing the best job you can no matter what it is you do.
It's true.
Look, take any of those houses up on Gold Street. It's all boarded up. Give me one of them. I take one of them for free. Don't give me no equipment. Don't give me nothing. Just give me the house. I'll come back the next year. Watch what it look like. I will make something out of this. Because there's a lot of, first of all, there's a lot of stuff that's almost for free. Like the loading dock down there. You can get a 5 gallon of paint for $2 some days. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can do yourself. But you have to be willing to work. If you're willing to work, you can make it happen. I mean, I know all the negatives. I know everything. I don't want to hear none of the negatives. It's all there. It's all true. But don't let nobody stop you, because they can't stop you when you keep pushing. And that's what I try to tell. Even young artists that come by to see me, I try to tell them. I say, no, man, you know, I know. Look, it's hard. It's hard to sell for everybody. I don't care who you are. But don't stop. Don't let nobody stop you. Keep working. You know, no excuses. What are you doing now? Let's work. Let's go to work, you know. Live off of what you can make, and that's it. You know, and it's going to work. First of all, I've been to other countries where it's nothing. So there ain't no such thing. What I'm saying don't work in some other countries. But here it do work, because everything is really here. And there's always a way here. I mean, Poor, what we call poor, is rich to some people in other countries. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a whole different ball game. So you can make it. You can make it. You just have to, you know, kind of stick with it, you know.
So tell us about, just a couple questions. This painting here, I keep focusing on this piece.
The Coalition.
The Coalition.
Oh, I get it.
I just 2 days out of the hospital from a triple heart bypass surgery, and I had to draw.
Is this something new that Gail's going to get?
No, this is a sheet of paper that I wrote about this.
Oh, you wrote about this?
I wrote about that, yes. This is very short. But I had to draw, you know, and I drew that.
You know. You drew this since you've been home?
No. When I had my heart operation.
Oh, you had your heart operation.
Right.
Last April.
No, not that one. That wasn't last April. That was.
I can't keep
that
up.
They've been cutting on me so much. Look, the lady in the recovery room for my operation, she said, "You're amazing." I said, "What? What do you mean?" She said, "We're trying to ask you questions just to see where you at, you know. And every time you would say to us, you would say, I don't know what you're talking about. Just ask Gail. She's sitting right over there. Just ask her. She'd tell you everything you want to know about me, you know." They said, "Well, who is Gail?" I said, "Just go ask her. She'll talk to you, you know."
So this is what you wrote about.
This is what Ernest wrote about the Coalition. It is...
Which is a painting we're looking at that is a painting of a lot of faces. Red faces, white faces, brown faces, all kinds of faces. Faces don't even exist, at least in the humanity of Earth, but they exist someplace. So this is a portrait of faces. Done in crayon, right?
Crayon on linen. It's a 30-inch by 40-inch. And he said, this is his words, quote, I could not produce a piece as large as I would have liked to at the time due to a heart operation in 1991. I was too weak. On a 30-inch by 40-inch linen board, I created a small face with crayon on the top left-hand corner of the board. As I moved to my second face, it began to look like a mask. So I continued straight across the board until I found myself filling it entirely with rows of images that began to look like other masks, and each one was unique. By the time the piece was completed, I enjoyed the richness of the colors, began counting the masks, and realized that there were 121 images. Contemplating that this is the way it is supposed to be, not knowing who's who because of diversity in shapes, colors, and ethnic backgrounds camouflaged as masks. These traits only identify, perhaps, one's origin that turns out to be the same for everyone. Once we realize that we all need one another in spite of the diversity, we will all come together as the Coalition to utilize and enjoy our differences and similarities for the benefit of the entire human race.
That piece.
That's beautiful.
Right.
That is just, I love that.
Yeah. And that's exactly
that's
how I think.
Curly Holton, who is founder of the Experimental Printmaking Institute at Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. This is the piece that, first of all, when he came in and saw Ernest's body of work, he said he was just flawed. It's just overwhelming. And when we selected the Coalition as the piece for him, and he normally just doesn't take artists off the street and do serigraphs of their work. But he invited us up to EPI at Lafayette College, and we started talking, and we selected this piece, and he loved it. So we are working on soliciting pre-investment from folks to get this piece printed, and there will be a limited edition of 50. And we're going to the printers, hopefully in February, and then we're going to do a special opening to unveil this piece here. And we'll have the other ones for sale.
Don't you have an opening coming soon?
Yes, this Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, it's a special holiday showcase and sale, and we're scheduled to open 3 to 8 on Saturday and then 1 to 6 on Sunday. That's the 11th and 12th of December. We're also showcasing two of Ernest's favorite friends and buddies. Jerry Prettyman will have some prints here, as well as Jonathan Green, and then one of Morgan's biology professors, who has another talent, Gabrielle McLemore, jewelry, and some of her pen and ink work is on display here. Jackie Blake will be performing. All the artists have come out. Ernest Cromer is home from the hospital. He was not here for the November and 13th showcase and sale, but he will be here. He will be here definitely this weekend. And then we have Gary Richardson, who's a bassist and friends, performing on Sunday. So there will be food and drink. We'll have Class Act Catering is going to be doing a little spread here. And so just come out, everybody, and enjoy and celebrate. Celebrate art, celebrate life. Celebrate each other, enjoy some live jazz and food, and we're just so happy that we're able to do this. This is the emergence, the beginning of the emergence of Cromer Gallery again.
Being reborn. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns are Judith Lloyd, Brian Boone, Richard Good, Gay Pinder, and Felicia Faison. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com.